This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And here we are live on Pet Life Radio, live on Instagram Live. You're here with Dr. Jeff Korber, your host for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. Here for you, here for your pets, any questions you may have. And let's see. Oh, Archie's hanging in. That's good. That's good. So for those of you who don't know Archie was my mom's dog. My mom passed away a number of years ago. And my sister Bethany, who's here every Sunday with her husband Steve, who are my high school, one of my high school classmates and good friends. And there he is. Steve, how you doing? So anyway, Archie is hanging there. He's, Beth, what is he, like 13, 14, 15? He could be 15. So anyway, doing great, maybe even close to 16. So yeah, it's amazing. So I'm good. I'm glad he's hanging in there. And I mean, I remember I had Grover. Grover made it to 16 and a half, which is pretty amazing for a Labrador. So 16, wow. You know, so we talk about this all the time. And I have patients that are very old. And, you know, it's really sad. I mean, when you get to this point, and you're thinking of, you know, having to say goodbye. First of all, it's never easy, even though you know it's the right thing to do if you have to help them along. And I often tell people, even though it would be great if, you know, sometimes you wake up in the morning and your very, very senior geriatric dog is just didn't wake up. That would be great. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often. It does sometimes. And those people are very fortunate. They knew it was coming and sort of, you know, God, nature took care of it. Not that you didn't have to make that tough decision. But unfortunately, usually we have to make that decision based on whatever, you know, personal guidelines one's going to look at. I have my recommendations, things to think about when it gets time to make that really hard decision. But it's still a tough decision. But even though you know it's the right thing to do, it's going to be hard. But I always have people look at the glass half full. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. And that is, think about the amazing long years that pet has given you. And why should this pet suffer at the end at all? And I learned something from a colleague of mine, a friend of mine years ago, who runs a service that does that, does house call euthanasia and does hospice care, is that you can really never make a mistake by saying goodbye a little bit too early, but you can make a terrible mistake of waiting too long. So the whole idea is we want to, you know, give people the opportunity to prevent the suffering in their pets. And that's really what it boils down to. We don't want them to suffer. So anyway, here we are. If you need to get a hold of me, I see some of you are asking questions. Now, diving into color, it says you want to request. I don't know if that's real or not. So if it is, just say yes, you meant to hit that. Sometimes you hit the button and it says view request and you don't really mean that. And when I go to try to accept it, you're never there. So if that is real, then sure, go ahead and let me know. And to get a hold of me here on Pet Life Radio, even easy, toll-free, of course, 877-385-8882, 877-385-8882. And here on, just go ahead and type away on Instagram Live, and I'm waving it to as many people as I can. So yes, I want some good questions. I have some things to talk about. We could talk about, you know, again, as I getting into foxtail season. You familiar with foxtails? So foxtails are little plant-ons. They kind of look like they're shaped with a sharp point and they flare out at the end. They're like a dried up weed. They look like a weed almost. And they are a nuisance. They are a really big nuisance. And so what happens is they have almost these little burrs, microscopic. And it turns out they're kind of one way. So I always do this trick and I show a client how tough they are. I will take a foxtail and I will put it like under my sleeve right here and half in, half out. Now I say, oh my God, a foxtail, let me brush it away. And I start going down to brush it away. And guess what? I show my client that it's already up here. It actually goes opposite because these little burrs. So every time you push down, it flings back up. And that's exactly what happens. So when a dog gets a little foxtail, oftentimes in their ears, up their nose, between their toes is a biggie, or in their mouth, they try to swallow them. When they try to lick their foot, every lick to try to lick it away, the foxtail is going deeper up the leg and the foot. And I tell you, I've pulled them 6-8 inches away from the opening point, from the entrance. And it is unbelievable. While I'm waiting for some good questions, and I'm sure you have good questions. So one of my employees' friends, St. Bernard, a puppy St. Bernard, he was a puppy. He was well over 100 pounds already. I mean, he's so adorable. So he was sneezing uncontrollably and rubbing at his face, pawing at his nose. And I said, oh my God, that's exactly what it sounds like. And they are just, and they're trying to sneeze it out, sometimes with blood. And this dog did have a little blood, and they're rubbing their face and they're trying. It's unbelievable. So we anesthetize the dog, and I go up with a scope and look at first his left nostril. And his left nostril was totally clean. They actually thought it was the left side, but you really never know. And you're never going to anesthetize a dog with a foxtail or with a suspected foxtail and stop your search in one nostril or one foot or whatever. I mean, always be thorough. So didn't see anything. Let me check the other side, the right side. Didn't seem like he was rubbing at that side, but you never know. Sure enough, I pulled out. It was unbelievable. I pulled out 8 foxtails from that nose. One of them was a clump. It must have been 3 to 4 in one big clump of foxtails. Unbelievable. And you know, what's amazing is he knew he had a lot of these foxtails in the yard. So it's so important. First of all, know what they look like. Look up foxtail. It's a plant on. That's A-W-N, a plant on. But we call them foxtails because they kind of look like a foxtail. And if you have them in your yard, and what I recommend, or if you hike and you're going to Runyon Canyon, when you get back, I want you to check in between and under the feet, lift the tail, okay? Of course, if they're starting to sneeze, spring, summertime, foxtails in the mouth. And all these places, they oftentimes will go up the butt, and ears are good. So lift the ears and check down the ears as much as you can see. If your dog is shaking his head a lot, please take your pet in to see your veterinarian. They can go down with an otoscope, up the nose, whatever the symptom is, and get these things out. They can be really a major problem. I've had cases where a dog will have start having neurologic diseases. They either pass away or they end up going for some kind of surgery, and the surgeon can find a foxtail in the spinal canal. I mean, they migrate and they continue to migrate. They are such a nuisance. Most of the time, they don't cause anything that serious, but you want to work on it. You want to get them early. So again, first thing you need to know is what they look like. Once you know what they look like, start checking your dog every day, every time after a walk, especially if you walk them in the field or in a canyon, someplace where there's a lot of weeds, dried grass, etc. And you want to check for foxtails. It is super, super important. Questions. I want some questions. Let's see. I love the waves. Love the waves. But I want questions. So, here's one. Roy, yes. I'm the one who sent the hip x-ray. Should I request to join on here? Wait for your response. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit. We can talk about it. So I got a picture today of a hip. It was a left hip, and it totally abnormal. And it said it had hip surgery already. So I wanted to know what kind of surgery was done, because the hip itself, the ball and socket, it doesn't appear that anything was done. The leg itself, the femur, is very crooked, looks very abnormal. So was it hip surgery? Was it leg surgery? I see no implants whatsoever, no pins, no plates. And there was a head. It wasn't what we call an FHO. So if there was surgery, or were they thinking of doing surgery? That's what I wanted to know. So if you could just send me that, and we could talk more off of the air, it would be great. I don't know if you can actually add a picture so others that are hearing this conversation, they can see what I saw. And unfortunately, my picture's on my phone, and I'm on the phone right now with my Instagram Live, so I can't share that. But it would be really cool to see, so everybody can see what we're talking about. So we had, again, understand, surgeries are, there's never 100% of a surgery, and there's never a way to guarantee that the intended repair is going to take place. In other words, are we going to achieve the result that we're expecting? That would mean that everything had to be done exactly for that dog. So for example, we had a case recently of a dog, one of the rescue dogs, had surgery done in China. It was one of the rescues I worked with the China. In fact, my Georgie came from China from this rescue. And these doctors are very thorough, very good. Everything looked good. I mean, it was done properly, but it just didn't heal the way it was supposed to heal, the way it was intended. The implants were there. You could see the wires. I mean, everything looked good, but the leg turned out to be really, really crooked. So it's like, was that a fault of surgery? Was this the dog post-surgically? We don't know. And when the injury took place, could there have been a growth defect, a growth plate defect, So even though everything was corrected perfectly well because of the growth plate defect, what was remaining of the bone and the growth plate, only part of the bone grew and the other part didn't grow because of the affected growth plate. So now it's starting to grow crooked. You can't predict that. I mean, you could say, and that's why when we get into a major difficult surgery like that, it's always good to say, yes, from experience, this is how it should heal. The dog should do well. But there are a lot of factors involved in a tough surgery like that that we just don't know about. We don't know how it's going to work out. We don't have microscopes right during the procedure to know if there is some bad tissue left behind. I had two surgeries on Friday. One was an exploratory on a gastrointestinal surgery of a cat that was having some ileus. Ileus is a problem in the intestine where there is no peristaltic waves. So everything was just sitting there and filling up with gas. Usually, as the waves, the peristaltic waves of contraction and extension through the intestines, that propels everything from one direction, the stomach direction, out to the colon. But if that doesn't happen, everything just sits there. So it is really, it's not always so easy. It's not like, you know, we read the textbook, but the pet who's having the problem didn't read the same textbook. So they don't know that they're supposed to react a certain way. And the best we can do is, you know, again, we're just wait and see. I just took a huge mass that the cytology, just to give you an example, it was very cellular. The pathologist said it was a great sample, but they still couldn't tell. Was it thyroid? Was it parathyroid? Or was it what they call a carotid body tumor? And, you know, you're sitting when you're doing a thyroid surgery. This is, I'm going to post the surgery. I mean, it's really cool. But when we're in there, so we're dealing with a mass that's in the neck, right on top of the trachea. If you look at it, and anatomically, the thyroid and parathyroid gland are sitting right really on the trachea. And what runs right up the neck? Well, you have superficially, you have what's called the jugular vein. You don't want to cut that. And then deep to that, you have what's called the carotid artery. You certainly don't want to cut that. You know, if you see these medical shows and all of a sudden the doctor cuts something and the blood starts spurting and hitting it, that's a major artery. You don't want to cut those. So it's a touchy surgery. I mean, it's fun. It's challenging. It's just exact, slow. The dissection has to be very targeted and you really need to know what you're cutting, what you're separating, and what the ramifications are if you hit the wrong thing. So anyway, I'm one of those gutsy idiot surgeons that loves to do those. So it was a great surgery. Everything went as planned. But again, I don't know how it's going to heal yet. And the good news is I always say, if it comes 2 days after or 3 days after surgery, and I still haven't heard from the owner, I guess we're in good shape. You know, like they say, no news is good news. So I'm hoping that the no news is going to be the case. And I'm always nervous about these post-surgically. So I usually call the owner. I'm going to call the owner today and see how we're doing. But it's one of those things where it's fun to do. I love doing it. But what I really like about it is when things go as planned, when they go as planned, it's the greatest feeling. This surgery was done, both the mouth, it was an oral tumor and the neck tumor on a 13-year-old boxer. Well, first of all, boxers don't usually live to 13. Maybe it was 12 and a half. I mean, it was approaching 13. So that was number one. So of course, I would say to clients, let's see what we're dealing with. That makes a big difference. Do we even want to take it? Is it worth the risk? If it came back as a lipoma, fatty tumor, which they didn't think it did, but not in that area. It's usually thyroid tumor. So we found out that it was definitely a tumor. And the bloods were perfect. Of course, when we're dealing with tumors, especially tumors that are potentially malignant, what do I always do? Take a chest x-ray. Because if the chest x-ray shows there's already metastatic disease in the chest, then in my opinion, I wouldn't put a dog through that kind of surgery because the prognosis is already very poor. Once any tumor spreads to the chest or the liver, it's not a good prognosis. This dog was clean. The bloods came back perfect. So now, do I risk a surgery on a 13-year-old or 12 and a half-year-old dog that typically doesn't get to that age, or just let it be? If there was a problem in the bloods, or as I said, a disease in the chest, I would just probably let it be. But I am not going to pass an opportunity to help a dog that really needs the help. And if we don't do it, then we know we're destined for failure. So is it worth the risk? Is it worth it? Yeah, I think it is, assuming the dog was healthy. This dog was very healthy. So surgery went great. We're still waiting to hear. I will share the post-op with you. It's really hard to share the pictures. So yeah, we're going to break now. We have a few minutes, well, 10 minutes left on our show, but we have to get our advertisers ready out there promoting their wares. So Don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages. In the meantime, for those of you on Pet Life Radio or for those of you on Instagram, let me have some questions because I have other things to talk about. But, you know, I love answering your questions. Don't go away. We'll be back after these short messages.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back live here at Pet Life Radio, and we're talking about a case I had. You know, we're just, again, talking about foxtails, because a lot of people don't know what they look like. They don't know what to look for. And years ago, I had a case. I must have pulled 30 or 40 foxes out of a dog's mouth, the back of the throat. It was the most unbelievable thing. This is before, you know, we were sitting in and videotaping and taking pictures of our surgeries and stuff like that. So I couldn't show it, but it was remarkable. So speaking of foxtail, spring and summer, other things that just to be aware of is as I'm walking my dogs during the day and I see when I cross the street, they're moseying, they're on sidewalks, they're on grass, right? But all of a sudden when I cross the street, they start running like a fast pace. And you realize that pavement, especially blacktop gets really, really hot. So even when you go to the beach, you know, when you go to the beach and you're crossing the sand and the sand itself is really hot, and all of a sudden you start running or you look for a shaded spot or you look for like someone else's towel where you can step on the towel and let your feet go up. It's the same thing for dogs. They feel that too. I have pictures of clients whose dogs, they're chewing their feet and they are going nuts. They're sort of having issues walking. It's a hesitancy. They just, something's wrong, right? They send me pictures and the pads are literally burned off. They are peeling back. And it's why it's like a callus, just like we get calluses. If you run barefoot and you're running around, it's the same thing happens to dogs. They get these calluses on their feet and fortunately they heal pretty well. But be aware that even when you live in certain parts of the country that are really hot during the day and you say, okay, wait, no, don't do that heavy exercise, that heavy running, that long walk until either early in the morning or late into the evening after the sun is down. So you're looking at after 8 o'clock. But guess what? That pavement retains that heat for several hours after that. So don't think just because the sun is down, the weather's cooled off a little. Here in LA, you got sometimes a 15, 20 degree drop sometimes from a 75 degree day to a 55 degree evening. But some parts of the country, it's a 5 degree drop. It's 95 during the day and it gets down to 90 at night. So just know that you really want to remember that that pavement remains hot and it's very important. Hold on a second. My 16-year-old black, I guess, is that a black lab? is starting to act up a little more, even though she is taking daily chewable Dasiquin. What could a veterinarian recommend to help her arthritis more? Okay, so great question. And there are a number of new things that we have access to. First of all, I'm a big fan of Dasiquin. It's chondroitin. My new product, Flex, is also really great. In fact, I've gotten phenomenal reviews. It's performance by Dr. Jeff. It's called Flex, F-L-E-X-X, and it's a joint chew, really tasty. But it's glucosamine, it's chondroitin, it's MSM, it's boswellia. So there are some really, really good natural products, turmeric. So anything like that helps, but that's a supplement. Now let's get into the medications. So of course, we have the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Now as a 16-year-old dog, I would say that it's important to make sure you have blood work done first. Why? Because with older dogs, all these medications are metabolized by usually the liver, kidneys that play a role. They're the excretion of any leftover is usually done by the kidneys or the liver. So it's important to make sure that everything's in working order. If the liver is not doing well, if the liver enzymes are elevated, some of these medications may not be safe. And even when they're on them, you still every 4, 5, 6 months, you want to have a blood test done to check to make sure everything is still going well. The newest non-steroidal anti-inflammatory called an NSAID is the Galliprant, which supposedly is better for animals that have some sort of kidney or liver disease or condition. So if your dog starts already with liver enzymes that are somewhat elevated, I would recommend the Galliprant. Now, let's talk about arthritis pain for a second. And the new injection, it's only something by your veterinarian. It's good for a month, they say. It might be good for longer in some animals. And that's like Cytopoint. When Cytopoint came out, they said it's good for 4 weeks. And many of us have seen dogs that are good for 6 to even 8 weeks on Cytopoint. So with this new medication called Librela, and it's L-I-B-R-E-L-A, Librela, it works really, really well. I've had some amazing results from an injection, a monthly injection of Librela. It literally is, it's like an immunotherapy that helps prevent the actual pain receptors, and it blocks them. So it literally immunologically stops the pain. It attacks the pain. So these dogs, some people saying that within 2-3 days after the shot, they are up and moving. It's amazing. It really is. Now, remember, anti-inflammatories, a lot of times they are considered analgesics, but they're really not analgesics. They're not doing directly anything for pain receptors or the release of the chemicals that induce the pain response. What it is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. By reducing the inflammation, then you're also going to get some relief of pain. And aspirin, for example, again, pain reliever. Technically, it's an NSAID. It works as a pain reliever through the reducing the inflammation. Now, the Librela actually attacks the pain itself. So it is very important. Talk to your veterinarian. I would recommend trying it. If you want to do an order, and this is one thing that's funny, we get this all the time. So we have all these great tools. So we've already at least eliminated one of them is Dasiquin, that it's not doing it all. And you don't expect it to. It's a really good joint supplement. It helps build the strength of the joint, smooth the joint capsule, increase joint fluid. That's what the chondroitin is called, the polysulfated glycosaminoglycans, the PSGAGs do. You can also add Adequin. Adequin, as good as the orals are, Adequin, it might be even better. So talk to your veterinarian about Adequin. But as far as the drugs, if you start them all at the same time and you get a result, you're going to ask, do I really need all of them at the same time? Maybe I could have done with just one. So I'm a proponent of let's try one first. Okay. Give it a week or two. And then even if it seems to work, then add the next one. And if you see a dramatic improvement, then you know, maybe you can do away with the first one, maybe not. But I always think there's always inflammation. I think it's good to start with the NSAIDs. And then add Librela. And the hope is that you're going to see a dramatic improvement with the Librela, that you would see a slight, hopefully you're going to get some improvement on the NSAIDs. Before we had the NSAIDs, we had carprofen and we had Deramax, right? We have other Galliprant. We have the non-steroidals and they do work, but you can bump it up with Librela. So that is what I would highly recommend. And then get back to us and let us know. The goal is we want them to feel good and flex better than, more potent than Dasiquin. You know, they both have a lot of the chondroitin. I don't know if the Dasiquin has the turmeric and the boswellia. We find that they're natural. I kind of like to include some natural stuff in as well. Because when people ask me, I am not like a holistic homeopathic vet. But I do know in working with my good friend Rick Palmquist here in LA is like the guy that I recommend. Mark Batan, also good guys. Most of the good ones will say there's no interference. If you want to use some Western medicine along with more naturopathic stuff, then that's fine. Likewise, the reverse. I have no problem. If somebody wants to do something that's a little bit more naturopathic, more natural, go for it. You can do it by itself. I'm okay with that too. If you want to try first, you can add on the Western medicine. So I go with both. Yes, I'm saying the turmeric is something that seems to help. It works for joints as well. I would give it a shot. I am doing, by the way, after my show here, I'm doing my Talk Shop Live. For those of you who are not familiar, Talk Shop Live, it is, I believe, it's its own app. It is kind of like, think about a QVC or a home shopping where Talk Shop Live introduces products by their reps or by the creators, the producers of the product. And it really is just a way to educate more than just seeing something in print. You go to Amazon, they have a little blurb, but you can only say so much. Whereas Talk Shop Live, I really love it because it's a great way to discuss some of the things, some of the issues we have with our products. And we do it, I try to do it every other week, maybe every third week with some of my new products. And again, it allows you, it's interactive, just like right now we're interacting. So if you go to Talk Shop Live, it's live. That means as I'm speaking, you can have a specific question about a product that would question to get the turmeric, for example, is a great type of thing you can do really on the show itself. And while I'm talking about some of the products, we have questions coming in live. It's conversational and it's very interactive. And I love interactive, as you know, because I come to this show prepared, but I also love just being able to answer specific questions, questions that I don't think about, questions that I know if you're asking, there are other people that are either asking, want to ask, but afraid to, or at least thinking about it, or have had this problem with their pets as well. So anyway, there you have it. So I am out of time here. And I would thanks again for joining me here on Pet Life Radio and on Instagram Live. If you can tune in at 10 o'clock on Talk Shop Live, that would be great. Then again, please don't be embarrassed. You can send me questions during the week and I will share them. Whether you ask me today live or you send it to me during the week because you weren't thinking about it on Sunday and all of a sudden it comes to your head and you say, God darn, I should have asked that. Ask it right away. Send it to me on Instagram or on Pet Life Radio and I will bring it up on our next show, which will be next week. Same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram Live. And you just tune in. We'd love to talk more about it and answer any questions you may have. Otherwise, have a wonderful day, a wonderful week, and we will see you here next week live. Be well.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.